This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Dignitaries, high-ranking military officials, and Indigenous leaders from across the Arctic are in Anchorage, Alaska this week. As KYUK's Emily Schwing reports, they're here for the Arctic Encounter Symposium, the largest annual Arctic policy focus gathering in the United States.
Pearl Brower is the president and CEO of the Ukpiagvik Inupiat Corporation, UIC. She says that people who live every day in the Arctic should be the focus beyond this week's discussions.
You know, when you're thinking about the Arctic while you're here, think about us, think about the people. And that's, I think, really the critical key component of that. You know, as policymakers, as people working within this region, as people making, thinking about the Arctic, we think about the people first because that's what it's all about.
Brower, who's from Utqiagvik, was among six Indigenous leaders from across the state who took to the main stage at Anchorage's Dena'ina Civic and Convention Center to kick off this year's symposium with a conversation about their visions for success into the future. Roy Algoin grew up in White Mountain. He was recently named the president and CEO of the First Alaskans Institute, a policy and advocacy nonprofit organization that also focuses on building leadership skills among Alaska Native youth. He says any future success must include younger generations.
I look at our youth as the starting point of new discussion, of change, of functionality, of being capable to move forward with all of the things that we need in our community.
Among the long list of topics on the Arctic Encounter agenda this week are discussions on sustainable energy, infrastructure investment, and emergency preparedness in the Arctic. I'm Emily Schwing.
The Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians is among tribes in Michigan not tapping their maple trees this spring after an unusually mild winter. Despite that, the band was able to continue with parts of the tradition at their sugar shack using maple sap that had been saved or traded for. Interlochen Public Radio's Ellie Katz spoke with Tara John, who works on restoring traditional foodways.
Tara John pulls out a few bottles of maple syrup harvested nearby that she was able to trade for. She pours the liquid into a cast iron pot over the fire and starts stirring.
I'm boiling it down. I'm going to sugar this.
After several hours of careful stirring, the syrup will thicken, eventually reducing down to a granular golden brown sugar. John has led a few sugarbush workshops like this one to teach tribal and non-tribal community members about the tradition. And the band's agriculture department says they're aiming to tap 600 trees next year, up from around 300 last year. They've invested in new equipment and home tree tapping kits to give out to families, thanks in part to a big grant aimed at reinvigorating tribal food traditions. Later in the afternoon, the sun comes out, and more people have joined around the fire. John says this, showing up to Sugarbush with intention. Being outside the sugar shack and near the Inanatigug, the sugar maples, is vital during this year of rest for the people and the trees.
This is what I'm intending for them. And to occupy this space throughout the year to host workshops or harvesting or teachings, storytellings right here so that we can live life with these guys. They miss our laughter and our arguing and our kids running around. They're supposed to be part of our lives. And we're coming back. We'll learn how.
That was Ellie Katz, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by Drummond Woodsum, a full-service law firm whose nationally recognized tribal nations practice provides services to tribal nations and their enterprises and to companies that do business with tribes across the country. More at dwmlaw.com.
Support by Sanofsky Chambers Law, championing tribal sovereignty and Native American rights since 1976, from opioids litigation to treaty rights to tribal self-governance, with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska. Sanofsky Chambers Law.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.